Hey Jamie, it's Michael Dean. I want to go ahead and order that Comrex BrickLink that you sent me a quote on. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And now it's time for the Freedom Fiends Agenda live call-in show. Have you swallowed too much of the state's poison? The Freedom Fiends will stick their fingers down your throat and hold your hair back while you hurl. Call in before they get droned. Right now, live on Freedom Fiends Radio.
Yeah.
Do you want me to run a separate
thing? We're good. We're good.
Record on my end?
No.
We are recording?
We're good. We're recording. Yes.
All right. Yes. Okay.
So I got this giant atomic clock, and to be clear to anyone listening, there's no atomic material in an atomic clock. It has a radio receiver that picks up government signals. I bought a government signal radio clock that keeps us synced, and it's giant. It's like the size of a dinner plate, and it's got digital numbers that are like 3 inches high and 1.5 inches wide, and I'm very aware of time now. I'm not usually, but with this on my desk, I'm kind of like, I kind of feel like I'm counting off the seconds until I'm no longer on this earth someday. You know, it's my death clock.
It's the death clock.
Yeah. Or,
nice.
It kind of reminds me of that scene in Fight Club where it's showing what he does for a living, and he's running through all these airports and trying to catch planes on time and then waiting for 4 hours in airports. And they show this clock on the wall that kind of looks like this, but bigger, and it says, "Your life is ending 1 second at a time," which sounds kind of fatalistic. I'm looking at it more as I'm counting off the seconds until we're on radio.
Ah, okay.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
good for you.
I have something to play. Let me play.
All right.
I can't play it. I recorded myself ordering the Comrex today. We have a Comrex. Yeah, it's on a different computer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Your passion is unbridled, Michael.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Yep. And
the state would like to yoke it and bridle it, but it's all for freedom and all for fiends.
Yeah, someone just sent me something about veterans. Disarming of our vets. Veterans receive letters from the Department of Veteran Affairs prohibiting firearms and ammunition. Boy, this sounds like the shisa has hit the fan, if this is what I think it is. I guess we should read this. It's breaking news. We don't do that very often. I put it into the pigeon troll or the chat room, so we can all go
check
look.
The date on it. Let's see.
Today.
Yeah.
Today. And it's got 311 comments already.
Wow. Okay.
You want to read
some
of this?
So, veterans receive letters from Department of Veteran Affairs prohibiting possession of firearms or ammunition. Now, this is really strange. I wonder what the details are. All right. So, it's written by constitutional attorney Michael Connolly. He's got a JD. Good for him.
He's a lawyer.
He says, "How would you feel if you received a letter from the U.S. government informing you that because of a physical, mental condition, or mental condition that the government says you have, it is proposing to rule that you are incompetent to handle your own financial affairs? Suppose that letter also stated that the government is going to appoint a stranger to handle your affairs for you at your expense. That would certainly be scary enough, but it also gets worse. What if the letter also said," and here begins quote, so this is actual language apparently from the letter, "a determination of incompetency will prohibit you from purchasing, possessing, receiving, or transporting a firearm or ammunition. If you knowingly violate any of these prohibitions, you may be fined, imprisoned, or both, pursuant to the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act, public license number 103-159, as implemented at 18 United States Code 924A2. Huh. So, I don't know. That doesn't really sound new to me. I kind of feel like whenever they say somebody's mentally incompetent, they don't let you buy a new gun.
You know, I will. Whenever there's something like this, I always try to find a source that's not the prepper Patriot News.
Blog.
Yeah, or a Patriot blog or a conspiracy blog, even though they sometimes have more truth than the mainstream media, but there's also sort of a viral effect. Now, what this seems to be implying is that an overwhelming number of veterans are getting this letter this week, but I don't really see that in there. I mean, that's what I got from the headline, you know? Like, veterans receive letters. How many veterans? Where? What veterans? You know, it doesn't have the news things. The, what is it? The four Ys, the four Ws, something like that, five Ws.
Well, Also, an important part of news and good journalism, especially with stuff like this, is personalizing it. Like, Timmy Thompson received a letter today. It said this, this, and this. Now, Timmy Thompson feels very hurt. And then Jack Johnson also received this letter. In fact, over 10,000 people have received this letter as of May or whatever. You know, there's no numbers. There's no personalization.
Well, so. He says, I have such a letter right in front of me. And he doesn't say if it was sent to him or if, you know, someone sent it to him to give him a legal opinion, or maybe it's a client or something. But it says it is being sent by U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to hundreds, perhaps thousands of American heroes. Now, is that his assumption? This is really bad news, and I don't really want to report on it until there's more information. We could go dig it up, but I actually gave our
live on the air.
Yeah,
here.
I gave our cracked research team the day off to go smoke crack. So, you know, another thing too, I want to talk about the thing about the targets. You know, the targets of common folk defending themselves that some target company's making. You know, I'm really livid about this. I mean, usually the tyranny just kind of rolls off my back like acid off a duck. But and the Reason magazine article didn't show all the targets. I'm going to post the GNC link here that has all the targets, yeah. And I want everyone to take a look.
Well, the reason I wasn't obsessed with that is because somebody on our I guess you're not on Facebook anymore, but somebody on Facebook sent me a picture of all the targets, and I was like, oh, okay, I see them all. Now I want to find out if this is real or not. And so that's when, during our correspondence, I wasn't like, look at all of these.
Well, it is
the
real.
The first thing that led me to believe it was real was the Reason article actually had a statement from the company's spokesman.
It was really disturbing.
Horribly disturbing. The most disturbing part for me was they were explaining that the whole point of these targets, which if you haven't seen them, they depict like a pregnant woman, a little child, like a 5-year-old blonde toe-headed kid.
Like 8.
Okay, whatever. You know, preteen kid, before even preteen.
Usually when there's targets that have non-criminal looking people on them, it's a hostage target. Like, you've got a guy that looks like a biker holding a knife to the throat of a pregnant woman.
And you avoid
the exercise
is
you
person.
Don't shoot the pregnant right. woman. You shoot the monster that's holding the knife to her head. Now, yeah. I've never seen targets like this before. It's common folk. They're mostly white, too, I want to point out. Yeah,
that was interesting.
Except the pregnant woman might be Hispanic, but the other 6 or 7 of them are all white. And they're like, they don't look like criminals, which, you know, anybody can look any way violent people can look any way. But the thing that's really disturbing about these are they don't look like people in the commission of a crime. They look like people defending their property or family. Like, it's a pregnant girl. It's a woman, a young mother with 2 little kids in a playground pointing a gun at you, at the viewer. And, you know, to me, it looks like someone saying, get the hell away from my kids, to someone that just tried to snatch her kids. There's one of like... Right. You know, an older woman in her bathrobe in her basement pointing a gun at you. And it looks like you're the criminal who just broke into her house and she's going to shoot you. You know,
well, it didn't even look like that to me, because their expressions are either blank or even happy. Like, the kid is smiling like he just got a new toy, or like he's seeing his dad for the first time in months.
Yeah.
The pregnant woman has just sort of a blank stare. It doesn't look at all like they're frightening or threatening you. And I think that's the point from the company's point of view. The most heinous part in their justification of this, and I'll quote, this is a direct quote from what Reason says was the company, which is lawenforcementtargets.com or letargets.com. This is the most heinous part of the justification. Quote, I found while speaking with officers and trainers in the law enforcement community that there is a hesitation on the part of cops when deadly force is required on subjects of atypical age, frailty, or condition. One officer explaining that he enlarged photos of his own kids to use as targets so that he would not be caught off guard with such a drastically new experience while on duty.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. His own kids. This cop was practicing murdering his own kids in his brain.
Yeah. Although if you took a picture of a cop and printed it on a target and took it to your local range and started shooting at it, or any politician, somebody would call the cops or DHS, but they can practice shooting us. I mean, these look like my neighbors. They look like anybody, anywhere. law, you know, non-violent, just people defending their property. Now, here's the thing. This thing has gone totally viral to the point where you couldn't even click on the link of the company website in the Reason article to see the targets, right. You know, to see the rest of them.
And I just clicked on it now, and even the company itself has a disclaimer that says, due to high traffic, we are experiencing difficulties with our servers. We apologize, blah, 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 blah. So we're even the company's acknowledging.
Sorry we're so popular, but they're not people buying right. it. They're people going, you, sir, are worse than Obama. The thing is, though, about this news article, and I want to point this out because I don't want to be spreading rumors, and so many people spread rumors these days. There is no proof that DHS is buying these targets. What the article says, it leads you to that assumption. This company makes these targets.
You're talking about the GCN article, right?
Any of them. I was talking about the Reason article, which is the first one I saw. But the GCN article is written by someone that works at Alex Jones, and it just expands on it and shows that all the targets. But or maybe more of the targets. Maybe not even all of them, but, you know, six or seven of them. So the thing that happened here is the same thing that happened with this veteran article we just read. It sounds like fear-mongering to me. I mean, it's something to be fearful of that someone's making these targets, but DHS buys targets from this company, a lot of them. So does the U.S. Army. And there's a link to the DHS acquisition site or the U.S. government, like how much they spend with each company site of stolen money. But they don't list what targets they buy. There's no proof anywhere that DHS or any local cops anywhere are buying these particular targets. Some probably are, but this story implies the government is buying millions of targets that look like you to practice on you to go with their millions of rounds of ammunition they bought. What are they planning?
I didn't get that at all from the Reason article. The Reason article, the only part it says about, it says at the end, it says, I've reached out to Minnesota-based law enforcement targets for comment on what inspired the series and whether it's popular with law enforcement groups. Considering that the company has landed $5.5 worth of contracts, it might be interesting to know if these targets are being used by federal law enforcement agents.
Then it's not the Reason article that said that. It was everyone's reading of it and retwittering of it, and every email I got about this basically said, what the hell is the government planning? They're buying targets that look like us. And there's really no proof in any of this that they are buying.
That they've bought. Right. Yeah. It could be an unpopular line.
Yeah.
Nobody's done the work. At least I haven't seen the work yet.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a really good lesson for listeners and people out there who are consumers and not, well, even content producers, you know, read the whole article first. And B, try to verify if stuff is really
distrust
happening.
And verify.
Don't make assumptions. And the Reason article doesn't, but I could see how if you were, you know, I could see how if you weren't looking at it with a critical eye, or if you just read the headline, or if you just saw the pictures, you might think, oh, the government is using these definitely, and we know it.
Yeah. And I really want to stress that and point it out and say to be wary of that and to be wary yourself of forwarding things with an assumption that's not necessarily proven. And basically what it is the alternative media is imitating the mainstream news when they do this. The mainstream news will pick their angle with their story and put their agenda. And, you know, really everyone Twittering this all over the world, and I guess probably Facebooking it, is basically limbic masturbation. It's limbic system stimulation and people who want to live in a fear bubble and want to listen to conspiracy radio 24/7 until, you know, they think that there's a Fed goon behind every blade of grass. Now, I don't doubt that the government would like to kill a whole bunch of us, but I don't know that tomorrow they're going to climb over our fences and do it. So calm down, people. Yeah. Be prepared. Be smart, but don't be fearmonger or rumor mongers.
Well, the other thing is, it doesn't seem to me, at least, that cops at this point even have any hesitation anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, for decades, like when I first went to college in Austin, they were killing mentally handicapped people and tiny women and 16-year-old, or was he 18? He was either 18 or 16, or 16-year-old Hispanic kids that weigh 125 pounds and aren't bigger around than a telephone or then you know, super skinny, super tiny people getting shot. So I don't see that cops have ever hesitated at just killing people if they want to.
Yeah, and you know
if they feel like they're justified.
As somebody said of Ruby Ridge, drop that assault, baby, or I'll shoot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was a sniper from hundreds of yards away, calmly, you know, not in any danger, pointing his gun at a woman holding a baby and pulling the trigger.
Yeah, and you know, the market kind of spoke after that too, because that shooter, Lou Hirachi, I think his name was, actually got an endorsement with some gun company, with some sniper rifle company. And the gun community just went Waco about it. They just went, no way, and boycotted the crap out of that company.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't use, maybe that was inappropriate use of the term Waco as a verb or an adverb.
Whatever. Yeah. So I got some good stuff. Some good stuff.
All right. We'll get Let's off see. That tyranny today.
I'm stretching. It's good. Yeah. First of all, people are saying good stuff. People are saying we sound great. We're using Audio Compass, which is an amazing program, but it's a full working demo that expires in 26 days. So we need to raise about, well, it's $400 for two copies, and we've got about 100 of it left over. So we need to beg a little bit more, cyberbeg, to try to keep this thing. I mean, we'll get it if we have to pay for it ourselves. We'll take food off our table, but we would love to get some more donations. And we want to thank people for the donations and thank our advertisers for helping us get the Comrex. I just dropped 1,300 and change of Fiends money to do that today. Woo. And right on, man.
Good for you.
And I ordered a new preamp, and I sold my old preamp today. So for you, the Fiends are just getting better and better and better and better. And that's all.
Better
that's
and
all
better.
I'll say.
Every day. Yeah. Every day we're hustling, baby. And as the state gets worse, the Fiends get better. So you got to know something must be right in the universe.
The more
right?
money they steal, the worse the state gets. And on a legitimately obtained budget, the Fiends have of like, you know, in 1 month, we probably take in about as much as, you know, a sniper team spends on targets and donuts in an afternoon for the government.
Right. Targets and donuts.
Yeah. And
I
these
had
targets
three
are not
donuts before you even woke up this morning.
That's awesome. What's that from?
That was from that drone skit we played.
Yeah, I really
like
that.
Ago.
I really like that.
Yeah. You got to see the visual, though. The visuals are just hilarious.
Yeah.
Seeing these dudes in office cubicles acting like they're soldiers. I guess in real life, though, they're in kind of a fake cockpit. But the Comedy Central version was funnier than that.
Yep. It's all good. It's all good. So, people. The people to people. I watched some good movies today I want to talk about.
Oh,
good movies Nima hasn't seen. I'll say what they both are, and then I'll talk a little bit about them. One is the movie Suburbia, the Penelope Spheris 1983 punk rock drama. And the other one was something that's on YouTube that I can link, which is called Broadcasting's Forgotten Father, the Charles Herald story. And I will link that in the show notes tonight when I put this up. I'm also interviewing Derek J after this, not live, but it'll be up tomorrow early for a gumbo. So
great.
The my stepson, when I told him I watched Salt Lake City Punk the other day, he was like, "Yeah, I remember that movie. It's not very good, and it's kind of trying to be Suburbia, but it doesn't really make it. Suburbia is a much better movie, but it's kind of similar. I highly recommend it. It's very sad, though. A lot of the punk rock movies back in the day had a real nihilistic attitude, and a lot of punk rock had a really nihilistic attitude also, which I didn't really dig. And some of the punk rock shows in this, and they're actual bands playing, it's like D.I. and True Sons of Liberty, not to be confused with the radio show Sons of Liberty, with someone who has the same last name as me. But
why don't you give us a little bit of explanation of nihilism for those who might not know what it means?
It's basically kind of having no hope and thinking that, well, a byproduct of it is having no hope. It's basically believing there's no morality in the world. Like a nihilist can murder somebody, no problem. They might not because they don't see the advantage of it, and they see disadvantages of it, or they're too lazy. A lot of Norwegian black death metal is nihilistic, and Death Clock, a couple of the guys in Death Clock are kind of nihilistic. The Swede and the Toki and Swissgard, They say they are nihilists, but they're kind of upbeat nihilists. I think nihilists.
I think they just say it because that's what's cool to be if you're in Norwegian death metal band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. To me, nihilism is utterly ridiculous. And what's the point when you have such an awesome thing to believe in, like the non-aggression principle or freedom, right? And there's so many horrible things in the world that it seems just counterintuitive to be a nihilist. You know, there is so much good that you can fight for. And so I guess I never understood how people could be that without hope, unless they're just haven't seen the light or nobody's told them about this great thing called freedom and love and liberty and the non-aggression principle.
You're getting a couple little dropouts there. They're not nearly as bad as mumble dropouts, but were you doing something on your computer?
Nothing out of the ordinary.
You're just, not wired yet, though, are you?
No,
and I'm not talking about stimulating your limbic system with chemicals. I'm talking about you are still on a wireless computer, so we will fix that at some point. We got a whole bunch of stuff via Amazon this week, and there's more coming. It's like Christmas in February for the Fiends, and we thank the Fiend fans for helping out and the donations and the button sales. But we need more people. Jesus wants you to send money to the Fiends. I don't know, man. I gotta listen to more televangelists and see how they do it. I guess they basically hold the gun of hell to your head. You know, you'll go to heaven. We should have a digital.
We should have a digital hat we can pass around.
Isn't that called PayPal?
I don't know how we would work that out. No, like a hat, like something that like falls into your hands and asks you to donate. Or would that be lame?
A drone. We could drone. Just send little beg drone drone beggars. Little insect-sized drones. Yeah.
Ah. Those are scary, man.
Well, you know, aerial drops aren't always bad. I mean, you know, countries and individual, you know, private nonprofits have often dropped food and Bibles and things other than bombs on people. Although this is interesting. Do you know where the word Molotov cocktail comes from for the homemade incendiary device that people throw at kittens when they're anarchists, apparently?
No. I assume some Russian city where it was invented or something.
Yeah, no, it's a guy. And he didn't like that it was named after him. It was an insult.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was basically Mr. Molotov. Who was he? Let's see. Named after Soviet Foreign Minister Vyacheslav Molotov, who was responsible for the partition of Finland in World War I. And he basically sent planes to bomb Finland, but lied to the media and said he was dropping food. And so they said that he was dropping Molotov bread baskets. That was the joke in Finland, the dark humor.
And so to return the favor,
they said here,
ordered him a Molotov cocktail.
Exactly. A Molotov cocktail to go with the Molotov bread basket. It was the retaliation.
Wow.
You know, yeah. That's an awesome etymology. Etymology is bugs, but
etymology. Yeah, I always remember because the Finns for keeping their quick wit and humor while getting bombed by the Russians.
I always remember that because the difference between entomology and etymology. Ent sounds like ant, so entomology is the study of bugs, and etymology is the other one. It's the study of words, and et is a part of a word, so that's how you remember that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I ate there when I once was a senator.
Yep, I'm looking at a picture of a Finnish person with a Molotov cocktail strapped to his waist. It looks like a holster. It's kind of funny picture. There was a money, you know, food.
Maybe that's what anarchy holsters could make. We could make holsters for Molotov cocktails.
Oh man,
that's our market.
You will not be in business or out of jail. Or out of Gitmo along if you start doing that.
Well, it would basically just be a cup holder that attaches to your waist.
Yeah, so, it wouldn't be, you wouldn't be selling Molotov cocktails or even encouraging anyone to make them. You'd be selling a cup holder
for
your belt.
It's a cup holder for your
hip. Are you looking at the picture?
Exactly. No, I'm not. I'm picturing it in my mind's eye.
It's pretty much what you said. Yeah, it looks like, So, the movies I saw.
Oh yeah, you were going to talk about movies.
Yeah, I really recommend the movie Suburbia, although it's horribly sad. But it's interesting because of the like 12 punk rock kids in it, one of them is Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers, probably before the Chili Peppers or when they first started, when he's like 18. And one of them is an actor who's not really well known, but he'd been in things and he's been in things since. But yeah, he's also in Born on the 4th of July, the Oliver Stone war movie. But the other 9 or 10 of them are all actual street punks, which is kind of cool because usually non-actors can't pull that off. But Penelope Spheeris got some kind of great performance out of them, and they did really well. They did really well.
Okay, awesome.
So I recommend it. And the other movie...
What was the other one? That's a bit more in tune with our current path.
Yeah, Broadcasting's Forgotten Father, the Charles Harold story. I'll put the link in here, but hopefully people will save it to watch later. And it's about an hour-long documentary that's on YouTube. I think it was made for public TV or something. It's about the guy who had the first radio show in 1911. Now, radio existed before that, and there were amateur radio operators and, you know, military radio operators, but it was all one person to another person, and it wasn't encrypted because it didn't have to be because no one really knew how to receive it. But around the Bay Area, San Jose and San Francisco, there were, you know, 500 or 1,000 amateur radio receiver owners, and they usually would just talk to each other. But what this guy started doing was he had a set time, a set date, you know, set hour every Wednesday night for like 4 hours. He would go on there and play records. He would read from the newspaper and comment on it. He would have his wife and his wife come on and talk and read things and have his baby on. And like people got to hear his baby grow up. I mean, he basically had a general interest radio show, and he invented it himself because there was nothing like that. Radio then was just one guy talking to another guy, or one guy talking, three people talking together at whenever they were on. But he set the idea of a set time and date, you know, set time of the week, set time each week, and sort of a format of like talk radio and music. And he was the first DJ. His wife was the first female DJ. And he was kind of forgotten. Like, he did it so early that other guys came along that had corporate backing and things were bigger and, you know, the war effort and, you know, there were all these heroes that emerged, but he was forgotten. And
it's something that's just so intuitive that you don't ever think of, who invented that? Who invented the fact that shows would be on at a set time?
Like, I know.
That question probably never enters anybody's mind.
I know. I mean, could you imagine calling a radio station and trying to get a show and saying, you know, they'd be like, what slot? Well, yeah, we kind of like your demo. What slot do you want? And you'd be like, oh, whenever we feel like it. We just want to interrupt whatever you have on when we're in the mood.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't really work, man.
Yeah. Although that's part of the beauty of podcasting, though. You're like, hey, when do you want a cat? You want a cat now? Yeah, let me get my coffee and poopicate, and then we'll cat.
Poopicate.
That kind of thing. I'm trying to find video or audio of Ann Coulter calling libertarians a bunch of pussies recently at this libertarian convention, but I can't find it anywhere. If anybody in the chat room has seen or heard that, go ahead and send it along.
Really?
I wanted to comment on it, but I can't find anything in quotes other than, quote, bunch of pussies, which Ann Coulter's probably said a million times about a million different minority groups.
I haven't heard her say that about libertarians, but she has said things like, yeah, I mean, some of my best friends are libertarians, and I treat them like real people. Things like that, you know?
Yeah. See, I really want to know what angle she was taking, because I kind of want to rip her down a little bit and tell her, hey, I'm not a pussy, and I think you're a pussy if you want the American military to go fight for you. I kind of think you're a pussy if you think you need the government to give you money or welfare or do anything at all. You're too scared of your own freedom to think you can handle your own business. So I think if you're a statist at all of any stripe, then it means you're scared and a fearful person.
Yeah, and
so
I would
call Ann Coulter a pussy.
And she makes fun of people who kind of fit her own description. I mean, I've heard her, she's pro-gun, and I've heard her say that, you know, people that don't want to carry a gun and want to carry a rape whistle instead are pussies and delusional. But, you know, I mean, how different is her, we need to kill a bunch of brown people because they look at us wrong, or are standing next to someone who looks at us wrong, by remote control with stolen money. But then she turns around and says, and rightfully says, that, you know, people are pussies who think that you should just vomit and pee when someone tries to rape you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that vomit and pee thing we talked about how in Colorado they're teaching college students to vomit and pee when raped. I've actually seen vomit porn. So there's somebody out there, if someone made it and there's a market for it, you know, it's actually a woman getting done from behind. Boy, this is not radio friendly, but it's a woman, it's people engaged in loving Congress while the woman is sticking her finger down her throat and vomiting all over the bed.
And there's a whole lot of pee porn or water sports, as it's called. So both of those, for the wrong rapist, would just encourage him even more, or maybe make him think, oh, she's into this. Okay, she wants to do some peeing.
Yeah.
Which is just awful, man. I mean,
not that peeing consensually is awful. That's not awful, but
no. Telling a woman that you should do something other than defend yourself to your fullest ability with your own free will and the market, that you shouldn't go to the furthest length possible to defend yourself if you're getting
raped. They're
that
basically saying
you should pee.
They're basically saying act like an insect or a rodent or a snake, because those things will all pee when they're afraid.
But no, we're human beings, people. Democrats don't think we are, but we are. So come on.
I don't think Republicans think we are either.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, for the state, if you're part of the state, if you're a cop or a dog catcher, then you're a person. But if you're a taxpayer, no, sorry, you're not a person.
Yeah.
We can kill you. We can burn you to death. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah, and man. So what else? Man. What else is on your mind today?
Well, I really wanted to read Ann Coulter's actual words, but maybe she's too much of a pussy to actually put them out.
She
there
probably
in
sued
the
anyone.
Everybody
who,
can see them.
Someone probably put them up, and she probably sent him a cease and desist lawyer letter.
But if I could see them, I'm sure they would be ridiculous, and I would say, "Hey, Ann Coulter, I'm a libertarian, and I'm not a pussy. And to prove it, I will fight your husband and or wife or mistress, whatever you have."
The big black
in
the
a
big,
boxing
the
ring.
Big black buck that she has on what's that
right,
show?
On Boondocks.
Yeah.
I will fight them in a boxing ring. So bring it on, Coulter. You can even join in, and I have one hand tied behind my back.
You can pee on us while we do it.
Right. In fact, that's what we get if we win. We have to watch you peeing your pants.
Man.
Or we get to.
Are we really? We're trying to get it all out before we get on radio. That's what's going on.
I guess.
On, huh?
I guess. Or maybe this is just the fiends. I don't know.
Yeah. I know. The fiends cannot. We're going to be on radio for exactly one episode, probably.
Ann Coulter piss porn.
Man. You get a lot of little clicky dropouts there. Is that when you're searching on the web or something?
I don't know.
It is.
It's probably because my roommate's watching Netflix. I mean, let me go check.
Yeah. So, Anonymous.
You talk about things for a while.
Anonymous. I will if you let me. If you only let me. Anonymous made a response to Obama's 2013 gun control policy. Maybe we should play this. I don't know. I can't set it up on my computer, but I will put this in the show notes for people to bookmark later and not watch during the fiends. Yeah, it sounds good. I'm gonna just smoke until someone sends us a donation. How's that? Like Dr. Gene Scott? Oh yeah. Audio cactus. It's snowing here in Wyoming. According to my atomic clock, the internal temperature in the Fiends West studio is 67 degrees Fahrenheit. It's 2:39 p.m. and 58 seconds on 2/21, February 21. That's a Thursday. And if someone would like to call into the Fiends, you know the call-in number. So go ahead and call in. It's 307-215-5171 or Skype to username kittyfeet1. Go ahead and call in if you want. Here on the Fiends. Yeah. Is Nima back?
I'm back.
Hi.
I'm back. No Netflix.
I just said I was going to smoke a cigarette until somebody made a donation, and I turned the mic up, and people could hear like the, you know, this sound. Like, listen.
Boxing is for real. Be careful, man. I used to box, not like professionally or nothing, but I know how to box. I used to box my roommate in college. I boxed in high school, you know, my friends. We would put on the gloves and box. I even boxed my stepdad when I was 13, and he knocked me out. So I've been knocked out by a punch. So I'm not a pussy.
As Paul Anderson would say, I'm not surprised. That guy, that guy made a hate site of me. Let's see if we can find that. Let's see. Bad. It's now bad libertarian, not bad. Yeah.
So it's not just for you. It's for any libertarians he deems bad, which I don't know what his metric system is, but
Why don't you read this whole thing while I go pooplicate?
Radio. Yep. We are so professional. Yep. We use one word to describe ourselves.
I'm just mellow today. Well, pooplicate and worms are kind of like aloha. They mean everything. But I'm actually going to go pooplicate for a pooplication reel. All right, go ahead and read this.
Okay, so you just had to clarify. No, it doesn't mean that, but yeah, it does in this case.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead.
Bad libertarian. Oh, yeah, here's a great picture of Michael.
Yeah.
So go to badlibertarian.com if you're listening in front of a computer. So you can follow on your badlibertarian.com. The thing is, human or slave, your choice, your consequences. That's the header. And this post about Michael is entitled Lost in Translation. It has that picture of Michael with three headsets on and a microphone in front of him. What follows are the contents of an email conversation between Michael W. Dean and me. I happened to see Michael's website listed in the stats for this site and took a look at it the other day to see what it was all about. To my surprise, my name was mentioned in the description of the latest podcast, so I listened in and heard Michael and his broadcast partner discussing this site and the failed conversation I have described in detail below with Ben Stone. They sounded like a smart and good humored crew, so I decided to contact them and try to clear up the misconception that this was some kind of quote-unquote beef between Ben and me. No, guy, not some kind of beef, a pod beef. Use the real words. From my perspective, it never was. I was just concerned that Ben doesn't walk his talk when it comes to non-aggression. Ad hominem statements and demands to quote-unquote shut up don't make a lot of sense to me coming from someone you would hope values open and honest debate. So I thought we could have some fun talking about the larger point of communication issues in general within the freedom movement, as well as within society at large. Problems that can be easily seen by looking at the discussion section below any online news story, where it seems like most of the comments are about personality and anger rather than the issue at hand.
Yeah.
Wow. Was that a mistake? Mr. Dean was, if anything, way more hostile.
Sorry, I didn't hear any of that. I was pooplicating, but go on.
I want to say
one of the things that we bought with the Fiends donations was a shielded cable to go from my mixer to the butt computer, which is the other reason we sound better. Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like The Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
So go on.
Judgmental than Mr. Stone ever was. I can see now why they're friends. What I can't understand is why anyone would care to listen to anything someone this angry might have to say. Normally, I would never post private emails in public.
Let me interrupt there. This guy, okay. Basically, this is like the written equivalent of the kid that comes up to you in the hall, knocks your dinner plate out of your hand. And then when you punch him, he yells, "He punched me! He punched me! Aggression! Aggression!" Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Or when cops shoot somebody, they're like, "He had a gun," and then they throw a gun on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's the same thing.
That's cops being bullies, but killing people with it.
Yep. Normally, I would never post private emails in a public space like this, but without my asking,
okay,
Mr.
public
Dean
space.
Gave me-
first of all, public space. Nobody's looking at this site except people, us and Ben are sending there. His Facebook page, I am told, has 4 likes and one of them are him. This website has 4 comments and it's been up for a month. 2 of them are from him. One of them is about Ron Paul versus RonPaul.com and has nothing to do with Ben or any of the beef on here. And one is somebody saying, "You're a jerk," or something like that. So,
but, I mean, anybody can see it. And I think what he means is... there's a general unwritten anarchic rule that if you're emailing back and forth with somebody, that it's a private conversation.
Yeah, that it's kind of the same thing as wiretapping. If someone sends you an email they believe is private and you publish it, I mean, not legally, but morally. But I totally encouraged him to publish this. If he left everything he wrote me and everything I wrote him intact and didn't take it out of context, which he did to his credit, but then he kind of took it out of context anyway. He kind of like put context in that were wrong. So go ahead.
Well, we'll let the audience be the judge.
No, I will tell them what to think. This is the fiends. We control the feed.
I see. All right. So he says that your responses get so out of control that he thinks other people should see it. And I'm back to directly reading. So instead of taking advantage of an opportunity to address the issue of hostility getting in the way of productive communication between people, Mr. Dean instead made the choice to be a slave to his anger and become yet another example of the phenomenon I've been talking about. A slave.
What's
to your
the
anger.
Phenomenon he's talking about is what? The phenomenon he's talking about is intellectual property and what he says is violating the non-aggression principle by blocking people on the internet. So I don't really see how I'm being indicative of either of those things by being angry with him after he's a dick to me.
Okay. Well, it looks like... Is this the correct order, too? Because the first correspondence is him to you. Was that correct?
Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, there was actually one before this that he didn't print that isn't really worth printing. It was just... "Hey, I heard your show with Ben where he called in. I'd love to come on and respond." And it took me like 2 days to respond to it. And I finally saw it again and was like, "Oh, yeah." And I wrote and I said, "Call in Sunday, second hour of our call-in show," and gave him the link. And in this, and I told him that 2 or 3 times. And in this, he says he's going to call in Thursday, which I told him not to do. But if he calls in, we'll talk to him. But he decided that, not me. I said Sunday.
Okay. So... to start off, this is Paul Anderson talking to Michael. He is the proprietor of badlibertarian.com,
which
used
to be
benstone.org.
Yeah. No, badquaker.org.
Badquaker.
That's the first and pretty much only question I really have for him is why did he... He registered badquaker.org, and you know Ben's is badquaker.com. He made a Ben Quaker hate site at badquaker.org. And now badquaker.org points to badquaker.com, you know, reverts to it when you put it in. And he moved his hate site of Ben and now of me to badlibertarian.com. And I wonder if that's like in his intellectual property world, he decided, okay, I'm doing
being
what,
a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So, hi, Michael. This is Paul Anderson. I'd like to call in and chat with you guys next time.
Wait,
it's convenient.
Do it in a goofier voice. Hi, Michael.
Oh, come on. All right, fine. Hi, Michael. This is Paul Anderson. I'd like to call in and chat with you guys next time it's convenient. But since I'm not familiar with how you plan out your shows, I wanted to see when the best time to try doing that would be. Thanks.
And I love that I tell him when the best time would be, and then later in this, he decides that he's going to call in earlier than that.
Well, why don't you read the you part then, and I'll be Paul Anderson.
Call in the second hour this Sunday.
Will do. Thanks.
Why does your bad Quaker hit site now redirect to Ben's own site? Never mind, my mistype, carry on. Will do, thanks. Wait, wasn't your badquaker.org site your site badquaker.org, or was it always badlibertarian.com? Anyway, we talked about it more on the latest Fiends episode somewhere.
No, you were correct. Badquaker.org and badquaker.net. I registered that one too. They now both redirect to badquaker.com. We can talk about why on Sunday. Also, you might want to look over the post at badlibertarian.com that
because
I put documented
because
in the
no
exchange
one else is
I had.
Because no one else
Hold
is
on,
looking at them.
Let me finish. Thank you. And that I put up documenting the exchange I had with Mr. Stone on his Facebook page. When he banned me, he removed my side of the conversation. So these screenshots are the only record of it that still exists.
Oh, you little archaeologist, you. Preserving important things for the future.
Excuse me? Also, you might want to take a look at the questions that I asked you on the comments page to his podcasting talking about Israel.
I still haven't looked at them.
I see I posted there as Voice of Reason and
Voice of Reason
too.
That's Orwellian,
because I'm both
man.
Of the Voices of Reason. And you probably didn't see my response back to you because it took Mr. Stone
Fiend
a while
drone.
To approve them.
Fiend
that's
drone.
Something we can talk about you on air also. But about the unfinished conversation that he and I had started. That
I just fiend droned you. You didn't hear it?
There was no explosion.
Fiend. Oh, there
the, missile launched, but the explosion didn't.
Yeah, because I cut you off because I didn't have a way to mute you, so I disconnected you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the premiere of our new get the caller off the line, or we can use it on each other if we're rambling on and the other person doesn't care. It's the fiend drone. Let me play.
That's what I really wanted to use it for.
Let me play it just once through without talking here.
Okay.
Fiend drone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Genius audio engineering right there.
We worked hard on that.
I love the fiends.
Yeah. All right. So carry on, Mr. Anderson. This is like what was it? Who's the actor that like at the Republican convention had an empty chair? You know, Mr. Cold Dead Gun Out of My Cold Dead Hands. What's his name?
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, he had a chair with that he was pretending was Obama, and he was telling Obama what he thought of him. This is kind of since Paul didn't call in, we're doing it in proxy. So
yeah, don't like feminist groups do that and like have a man in the imaginary chair or an imaginary man in the chair?
Probably, you know, any weenies do it, and we fit in the superset that is all weenies. So yeah,
is Clint Eastwood a weenie though? He's not very weenie-ish.
No,
but
he's a half measure libertarian. He's kind of a libertarian, and he calls himself that, and he's listed on sites of American libertarians, but. You know, he backed John McCain because it was like, well, if we don't get him, we're going to get Obama. No, man. No, that's not how it works.
Well,
get off my lawn.
If you were at the Republican National Convention and didn't get droned, then you're probably a bad libertarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a good conservative or Republican or whatever they have over there. All right. So this will continue with the text of Paul Anderson. I will not use the voice for his blog post.
Oh, you got it. Come on, man.
All right. So far, so good, right? I was telling him about the unfinished conversation that he and I had started so that I wouldn't surprise him with it when I brought it up on his show. I didn't want to ambush him with a line of thinking that he wasn't prepared for. I thought that it would be the nice thing to do. Unfortunately, the tone of the conversation is about to drastically change, and I'm still not entirely sure why.
Your turn. Okay.
Popcorn.
Okay. Paul, I didn't see your responses because I don't really give a fig about all this. You can call in at the top of the second hour on the Freedom Fiends live show on Sunday and talk about it, but it's your pod beef, not mine. I looked at your site once when Ben called in and told us about it, and it was funny, but I haven't thought about it much until today when someone told us that your site was reverting to Ben's site. Unlike you, I have things on my plate more pressing than trying to make a name for myself by bashing the unbashable. Ben is a tough mofo. He's been shot twice, for starters, and been knocked out by cold fists, knocked out cold by fists about a dozen times. You are not having the effect you want to have, and you're making a seizure out of a mosquito bite. Those who can, do. Those who can't, become critics. That said, unlike a lot of folks, I can theoretically understand both sides of the libertarian IP argument. However, blocking someone on Facebook is not a violation of the NAP. If it is, I'm worse than Ben by far. I blocked over 300 people, then I blocked Facebook completely. Facebook is grade school, and Facebook encourages idiots to say things from behind a screen that would get their ass kicked face-to-face on any street in the world. Not talking about you and me, nor you and Ben, but what a lot of people would do in the flesh with what people say on Facebook to strangers all day, every day. But your Facebook page is your own homesteaded property. Blocking a rude person is no more a violation of the non-aggression principle than kicking a loud drunk out of a party in your living room. And a basic human component of libertarian ideas and of property rights is freedom of association. I have a feeling you may be a newly minted libertarian who needs to go read more Mises and get it all right, or Rockwell. This article is a good place to start. Link. I'm letting you know this so you understand where your argument falls apart. Also letting you know in advance why I block you if you continue pressing me with this childish crap after you call in and say your piece on Sunday. By the way, I've already blocked him since then. He just was getting... He wanted to have long, long, long exchanges with me, like, every hour. And I'm... You know, I'm not going to convince him. He just wants to passive aggressively bash me. And there was nothing in it for me. So I just said, forget it, and blocked him. The reason Mr. Stone took a long time to approve your comments, because he complained like, Ben's ignoring me. He took days to approve my comments. The reason Mr. Stone took a long time to approve your comments is he is traveling and staying in campgrounds in the South and has really crappy internet and phone connections. He and I are best friends, and I usually talk to him for about an hour at a time, three or four times a week, and he usually answers my emails promptly. In the past month or so, he's taken up to a week to answer my emails, and we've barely spoken on the phone. In other words, as they say in AA, it ain't all about you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, should we continue on with this?
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much.
I don't know.
You want to keep going?
Nah.
I mean, let's sum it up. I mean, I guess I could see where he would feel slighted in some way because he didn't really bring up any arguments to you. He was just trying to schedule a time to make his arguments. But I don't think it was unfair of you at all to take apart what you assumed. Well, not even assumed, because you took apart arguments that he made on his own website where he was trying to make fun of Ben Stone and call him a bad libertarian. So I don't think they were unwarranted at all or necessarily hostile. But he took them it was very sensitive to them, and it seems like he was very hurt by them in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, and he started out doing something that's kind of pricky to Ben, and when Ben kind of fought back a little bit, he was like, you're fighting me, you're aggressing on me, and he did the same thing to me, you know? This started right with him saying, I want to come on your show, and, you know, he says I escalated it. We kind of both escalated it, but he started it. He started being pricky, and as soon as I was kind of pricky back, he was like, you're being pricky. Totally reminds me of the kid that, like, knocks your milk out of your hand, and then when you punch him, calls you a bully. That's a type of bully that right. I encountered in school. Right. And
the thing was, I thought that this would be a good opportunity to discuss these ideas maybe with somebody else who had an opposing view but was going to be have a good faith discussion about it. I'm sad that it didn't become that. I am, but it does seem like from his end what he wanted to do more than anything was talk about
what you
were doing wrong and what Ben was doing wrong as far as their interaction when it comes to communication. What I would have liked to hear was more of his arguments about not necessarily even the Ron Paul issue specifically, but generally about why he has holds the IP views he has and why he thinks that we're bad libertarians for holding ours. If we were going to discuss the ideas, this could have been productive, but what it did devolve into was talking about the people involved in the discussion of the ideas. I don't think it can be salvaged, because it doesn't seem like he really wants to just discuss the ideas. It just seems like he wants to talk about how bad you are, or how bad Ben is at talking to him
right.
on the internet.
This whole thing isn't about Ron Paul versus ronpaul.com at all anymore. He hasn't posted about that in days. It started, that was his foot in the door to try to make a pod beef. Now, the thing is, like, no one's paying attention to his pod beef. We're bringing a lot of attention to him, more than any other, you know, he's getting more traffic because of us. He's getting 20 or 30 hits, and that's probably all he's gotten in a month on this whole thing. Nobody likes him. Nobody responds to his stuff. He's not a fair fight. I mean, I kind of liked my pod beef with Stefan Molyneux and my pod beef with Adam Kokesh, because they are really smart. Adam's really acid-witted and quick to respond. And I had a good point, but it turned into a battle. But it was like, it was a fair fight. You know, this isn't a fair fight. This is like, you know, a toddler or, you know, an eight-year-old coming up and punching you in the leg and going, "Let's fight, mister." So there's a couple issues here. One is the whole original thing, the Ron Paul versus ronpaul.com. I was already sick of that by the time Ben did an hour on it. And I was really surprised with Ben and took him to task, not because I had a pony in the fight, but because Ben got really, really angry about it and said, "Ron Paul's not living up to my ideal of him," which blew me away, because Ben is the guy who taught me and everyone else about the fallacy of the great man theory, A. And B, Ron Paul is a constitutionalist, and IP is in the Constitution. Copyright is in the Constitution. So why wouldn't a constitutionalist, you know, use the constitutionally granted right of copyright or of trademark?
Well, maybe before this IP mix-up, he bought your argument that now Ron Paul's an anarchist since he retired.
Oh, we all wanted that, but, you know, I think it was wrong. Ron Paul's kind of confused, too, because he says he's a constitutionalist and is and behaves like one, but also quotes a lot of straight-up anarchists.
Right.
And uses a lot of the words.
That's what your article was, and that's what we had talked about on The Fiends, was we had hoped that now that he's thrown off the chains of being in Congress, that he could now say, "Hey, I'm a full-blown Rothbardian and screw any government ever, because it's all just aggression." Unfortunately, I don't really get that impression right now, and I think that... So, you know, I do think it was important to broadcast what's going on with Ron Paul versus ronpaul.com, so that we could say, "Hey, we were wrong. We can't really count on Ron Paul, at least right now."
I knew
to be
that.
The good Rothbard.
We already knew that.
You knew that before the Ron Paul versus ronpaul.com thing?
Yeah.
If you did,
well,
then when?
I wrote that article saying he was an anarchist. I think it was more hopefulness than anything. You know,
right,
there was
never anything as strong of a clue as this Ron Paul versus ronpaul.com thing.
That he's not an anarchist.
This was something that said, yeah, exactly. That's why to me it was important, because it was a, "Hey, look at this." So you had some doubts, and Ron Paul hasn't really made a big stand as to which side of the fence he's really standing on, but I think this does sum it up in a really good, concise way.
Well, here's
so that's
here's,
why I think it was important. It was good to talk about.
Another issue is IP, you are absolutely convinced, and I'm kind of convinced, that IP, you can't be an anarchist and believe in IP. However, with most anarchists and most hardline libertarians that border on anarchy, on peaceful, non-violent anarchy, non-aggressive anarchy, basically you can tell how they're going to answer on almost any issue. On guns, on weed, on taxes, on private property, on nanny laws, you can tell how those people are going to answer every time on any of those. There are two things that anarchists don't always have the same answer on, and sometimes feel strongly one way or the other. One is abortion, and one is intellectual property. There are some of my greatest libertarian heroes believe in intellectual property. L. Neil Smith, Scott Beezer, Boston Tea Party, apparently Lou Rockwell. So, you know,
but do they believe in the state and going to the state
right.
to
I don't know
use
this.
The
I don't
force
think
and
so.
Aggression
I don't
to
think
enforce
so.
That?
But
But that's what's happening here.
Well, there's a point that Paul Anderson had, too, which was there is a monopoly system in domain name registrations. So to, and what I would have done if I were Ron Paul, even if I were the constitutionalist Ron Paul, I would have asked them first. I wouldn't have gone straight to the thing. But, you know, Ron Paul has attorneys and he's kind of a business, and that's how businesses work, is you go through the existing channels, and the existing channels with challenging a domain name is to go through ICANN, which is overseen by the UN, but it's not really like people say Ron Paul went to the UN. He didn't go to the UN. He had his lawyers send a letter to the agency you're supposed to send a letter to in these disputes. So he did what the monopoly has set up to do. I would have written a letter. Personally, I would have written a letter and dealt with it by humiliating the people if they didn't comply. I would have used the market. And if I were Ron Paul, the constitutionalist, I would have written a letter first before I went to, you know, the lawyer method. But,
yeah,
you know, We're kind of assuming here that we are absolutely right and Ron Paul is absolutely wrong. But Ron Paul is also against abortion. He doesn't believe it should be regulated at the federal level. He believes it should be regulated at the state level, and the smart states will call it homicide. That's what he believes. So Ron Paul believes abortion is murder and should be charged as homicide. So I don't agree with that either. So Ron Paul doesn't have my right answers on everything. Does he have your right answer on that one?
No.
So my I was just blown away.
But at the same time, though, Ron Paul has never snitched to,
that you know of.
But
he's never snitched. How do you know what lawyer letters Ron Paul has sent to people? This may not be the
first. That's a really good question. Yeah. Somebody should look into that.
Okay. I want to say to Pooplicated, stop telling me how to run this show right now. Pooplicated is just posting this crap, this poop in the chat room. Pick one topic. Make one point. Go back a little bit. There's something that Pooplicated told me to do that I want to address. And this is, I'm not doing his thing of picking one point. I'm jumping around, but there's a lot here. Pooplicated said, please stop defending others. Liberty isn't a gang. Ben is a big boy and can fight his own battles. He's well equipped. I'm not defending Ben as a member of the Liberty gang. I'm defending him as my friend, and I'm a really, really, really mellow guy. But if you come after me, or especially even more than me sometimes, if you come after my friends, I turn into a honey badger, you know? And I know Ben can defend himself, but Ben was not online and Ben was ignoring this guy. So I guess I took the mantle up for a couple minutes, and made the headline.
Do you think there's something to Paul Anderson's, being surprised at the vigor with which you pursued this beef, I guess would be the diplomatic way of saying it?
Well,
because you were being in honey badger mode to defend.
I think he's wrong in thinking, boy, I'd sure hate to live in Michael Dean's head, because living in Michael Dean's head is a really wonderful thing and everyone should do it.
It is.
It's glorious. I'm one of the happiest, most elated people I know, even though I sound cranky sometimes. Part of my happiness comes from my crankiness and being able to share it on the interwebs and soon on radio at things that deserve anger. Nima got a toy. So, yeah, but I think, let's see, your question is,
should he be surprised, but should you be surprised that he found your responses a tad angry and hot?
I like your word hot. Yeah, we've used that before offline. Hot's a good word for anger. I had a bomb lyric that said, red hot hate behind my eyes. Which is a really poetic and good description, I think, for the condition where, like, you are so obsessed for something and insanely mad at someone for something that you can't get it out of your head even after you should, which I don't really have anymore. That was kind of a result of, like, untreated alcoholism. But I do get angry. I didn't get a red-hot hate at this guy. A honey badger, if you leave it alone, it'll leave you alone. If you poke it with a stick, it will chew your ankles off. But then it walks away. It doesn't hold a grudge, you know, and that's kind of how I am with defending my friends. And people are asking, why are you even talking about this? Pooplicated, of course, is telling me we should get over this and not talk about it and not give it more, you know, weight by pointing it out. But it's good radio. And what's the phrase about drama? Conflict is the essence of drama. And since Paul didn't call in, we're having to play Paul on the radio and, you know, give our side of the story. And I guess he can call in Sunday and then we'll drone him.
The chat room is saying they're calling us out. And I guess the thing, too, is for our purposes, we're giving Paul Anderson way much more fame than he deserves for any of this. So, I mean, we can definitely switch off and just sum it up by saying Paul and Michael don't get along. Paul and Ben don't get along. Paul is free to call in, but he might get fiend droned, which doesn't show any aggression because he would be calling in on our show.
Yeah,
and it is our show, and if we choose at our own voluntary whim to answer, and he chooses at his own voluntary whim to call, and if we choose to end the call, that is also our right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm yelling at Pooplicated.
Yeah.
I'm telling Pooplicated to quit telling me what to do.
You're just yelling at everybody.
Get off my lawn.
You need to take some hippie Valium, man.
You know, somebody. I remember
Fiend Crocodile. Phone. Ooh, Fiend phone.
Maybe it's him. Ooh, maybe it's Mr.
Fiend
Anderson.
Fiend phone.
Yeah.
Fiend phone.
Hi, Fiend. Who's this?
Hey, this is Paul Anderson.
Hi, Paul Anderson. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, guys.
Are you listening?
What's going on? I was. I was listening just for the last few minutes. I didn't think you were going to be talking about this, so I decided to check in and just the. What the conversation was.
Yeah, I didn't think we were either. Okay. It just kind of came up. I have one quick question before we go into this. Why did you change your original site? Was badquaker.org, and now that redirects to Ben's site, and you're using a different one. Why did you stop using that one?
Easy answer to that. Now, I've actually written about that in a few pages on that page, but basically the reason is because I walk my talk. You know, that's exactly the issue, and really the only issue that I had with Ben was I was saying, you know, I was questioning, like you just for a few minutes ago, questioning, hey, why are you getting so worked up about Ron Paul on this? And he kind of turned that aggression on me a little bit, and I was, wait. Before you say that I'm giving you a straw man argument, why don't you explain why it's a straw man argument and take it apart, right?
Do you really think aggression is an accurate term? I don't really think anything verbal or written is aggression.
I don't mean it in the sense of the non-aggression policy.
You mean in the common sense of when people say that's aggressive, passive-aggressive, whatever.
Exactly.
So are you saying
here's what I mean in, like, you guys are into, I've noticed you're really making sure you got a clear audio signal, right? Something you value.
Yeah, you don't have one right now. Are you on a wireless phone or something?
Yeah, you know what? I'm on a, hold on just 1 second.
All right. Paul Anderson.
Is this coming through any better? I was on my headset.
Yeah, that's much better.
It's about
a little
better.
No, it's better. It's more solid. It's kind of crunchy, but it's solid. Go ahead. So, are you saying that by registering a domain name that was similar to his, you were doing something wrong, and then you saw the light and decided to change that?
No, not at all. Let me back up real quick. It'll take me half a minute to explain it. So basically, I just meant aggression in terms of signal noise, right? If I'm having a conversation with somebody, I want to have a productive conversation with them. I want, you know, what we're talking about to be about the issue. I don't want it to be about your mama's so fat or please don't drone me, bro, you know. I want to talk about what we're talking about, right? And so I felt like I wasn't doing that. And so I thought it might be, you know, knock a little sense into him metaphorically, right? I said, okay, if that's really how you feel about that, how would you feel if somebody were about to do that to you? So that's why I registered the domain name, and so I put up the little fake, you know, Cathy Press products on there. It really was just meant to be a huge thing to see what his reaction to it would be, right? And see what he had to say, and see if maybe that kind of shook him out of that mode of kind of being a little bit, you know, grumpy, and see if that could start a real conversation. And it did. It seemed to drive him even more in that direction, where he was saying, well, I want to click on that and buy some products, but I couldn't. You know, what's wrong with you? Are you slow? You know, do you not know how to use a computer? That sort of thing. And I was, you know, and so clearly I wasn't getting through to him. And if you kind of read through, I know there's a lot of stuff, you know, that I wrote about on that page, but, you know, I wanted to try to present it as fully as possible, so that there was a full record of what actually happened, so it's not a he said kind of thing, and people can read it for themselves if they want to. honestly, I'd be surprised if anybody did, right? That's not the reason that I put it out.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property. I'm not putting the site out there, but I want to get my name down to make sure I understand them well, right? And there have been things that have been really productive for me just in thinking through this issue on the whole Ron Paul thing. So to answer the question, sorry, it took a little longer to get there, the reason that I changed those URLs back to go to his site is because they'd served their purpose. Their purpose was really to try and be a humorous thing, to try to bump him into a different mode of conversation. And when I saw that wasn't happening, there was no reason to keep them, so I kept the site up, kept the record of everything there, but I just switched those URLs to point back to him.
So why the new site name of badlibertarian.com? Are you saying that Michael and Ben are bad libertarians, and if so, why?
No, not at all. In fact, if you guys had kept going, if you were reading through, you would have seen just right below where you left off. I believe it's underlined. I'm sorry, I'm trying to look through here right really quickly. Okay, if you go to where the red box is, where Michael was saying, hey, you can post this if you want to, directly below that in the next paragraph I said, you know, I think there were some misunderstandings. That's what I wanted to address in the next email. So I said, for example, I'm not a newly minted libertarian. I may be a bad libertarian, but newly minted, no. No, I'm talking about me. I'm the bad libertarian, right? So if you're running a site called Bad Libertarian, I'm just saying that, look, if it's this tough, right, to have a conversation without getting into an argument with people who I mostly agree with, oh, my God, what hope do we have of ever convincing people who have a longer road to go what we think?
I've heard people say that arguing with other libertarians is worse than arguing with statists sometimes, because we agree on 99.8% of everything and then scream about the other 0.2%.
Yeah, and you know what? Honestly, I think this is one of the problems here is the written communication aspect of this, right? One of the things, Michael, that I think you took differently than the way I meant it. If you look back up, there was the paragraph where I said, you may want to take a look at the questions I asked you on the comments page, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you may not have seen my response because it's Mr. Stonewall to approve them. That's something we can talk about on air also if you like. I didn't think we could talk about on air that it took him a while to approve them. I was just saying it took him a while to approve them, thinking maybe that's why you hadn't responded. But I can totally see how you could read it the other way, and that's where, you know, two people talking to each other can usually do a lot better job than... Sometimes than written communication back and forth, right?
I definitely think so, and I think even more than that, face to face conversation. And interestingly, Ben actually does have a few podcasts where he goes into that in some detail, mostly with regard to why writing down laws can be a bad idea, because the intent and the thing they describe get so mutated by changes to the language and the inherent inaccuracy of putting things into words.
There's one for you right there.
Yeah. But it is much different and easier to handle misconceptions and and problems with tone when you can hear somebody's voice. Michael, listening to Paul Anderson, do you feel differently than you did just 10 minutes ago?
Cautiously so, but he sounds really, I guess, sane would be the word. But I also kind of got the feeling that he was a sociopath, although I think he thinks I'm one. And sociopaths are shapeshifters who are absolutely adept at sounding sane and calm and coherent when it serves them. So I don't know.
Let me give you an example.
I'm doing some accounting right now. I'm not really listening, but I'll listen to this later. So go ahead and have the conversation.
Sure.
I'm half listening.
Okay. No, well, you're absolutely right about that. And somebody that I mentioned in passing a little further down in this email exchange was Stephen Molyneux. And I think it's very possible that Stephen Molyneux might be exactly what you're talking about.
A sociopath?
I think it's possible.
Man, you got to get off me and Ben. If you want to really have a good pod beef, you got to put out the Stephen Molyneux is a sociopath page, because he will respond to it. He has a much bigger audience than us. You will get about 1,000 people telling you you're wrong, and you'll get about 300 people telling you you're right. If you want to have an animated, lively debate, that's the site you should start, brother.
I think there are already really several interesting websites out there that deal with that, with Free Domain Radio.
Are they really?
Whether or not it's a cult and all that.
Yeah, but none of them are libertarians. They're all like mothers in England and stuff whose kid like ran away from home at 18 because Stephen Molyneux said you shouldn't stick with bad parents. No, but there's not a libertarian one.
Yeah. My impression is that Stephen Molyneux is a very smart guy who says, let me say this, he has had some things. I only found out about the guy in October. Somebody sent me a link to one of the slavery videos, if you guys are familiar with those, that he did.
Yeah, they're dead on. They're dead on. But then when he says that, if you're into BDSM, consensual BDSM, you had a bad childhood, or if you're into karate, you had a bad childhood. I mean, people have taken him to task for that stuff. The first one, me, and the second one, a couple hundred people. So he's
heard about the defooing stuff. What he calls a defoo.
I'm all for defooing. I wrote a whole book about leaving your family. It's called A User's Manual for the Human Experience, and it's free. You can grab it. There's paperbacks of it, but you can grab a PDF of it. It basically tells you how to block people, and it tells, you know, people why I blocked you. I mean, not you by name, but why I think it's ethical to block someone on Facebook or your own website if they're just bugging you and you don't have anything to gain from it.
Totally agree with you. And actually, I said that a little further down than you guys got.
We're not going to drop you off the phone yet, but we have to play for you the fiend drone that we were going to use to hang up on you, but we're not going to hang up on you. So listen to this.
That's
we spent a lot of time.
Oh my God, bro, don't drone me.
We spend time making this.
Right, I'm trying to set you up there.
Okay, here, listen.
Fiend drone. Fiend drone.
Okay, carry on.
So it didn't come through over my audio, but
oh, that's right.
All right, I'll play
Nima,
it.
You
see
play
if you
it.
Can hear
you play
it
from
it.
My
end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fiend drone. Fiend drone.
Could you hear that? Could you hear that?
The bomb damage assessment report is that I'm still here, so that's good.
Okay.
Cool.
Good.
So go on. Go on about Stephen Molyneux being a sociopath.
All right. So the thing that kind of concerned me about what I read about him, and let me tell you what the precipitating event was. The precipitating event for all of this was that, I guess it was about 6 weeks ago on his Facebook page, he made a comment, which was that he had just got a notification from PayPal that he received a donation for $2. And I believe he said, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but...
Well, before that, he'd said, any amount you can send, even if it's just a couple bucks, is helpful. So that is really weird that he did that.
Well, he also said about $1 an episode. And so if the person had listened to two episodes, then that would be fair under Molyneux's assessment.
Well, we just got a $10 donation and a $50 donation in the past 5 minutes. That's why I was doing accounting. So thank you to Mark Schisler and Rico, who sent us money. Thanks a lot, guys.
So unlike Stefan, you don't have to be sad. That's good.
No, man. We have a thing where you want people to send $2. Send $2.
Yeah.
Molyneux's counter-argument, because he got a lot of flack from this, was that... that he was just stating he was sad about it. He wasn't trying to
discourage people from... Oh, that the person was poor and should have kept the money themselves?
No,
he didn't go that far. I don't think he made that this time, but yeah. And there was, I don't even know, it's so far back, it's probably hard to find. And literally like 600 or 700 people jumped onto that post and said, what's wrong with you, dude? and there were many bannings. That was my first Facebook ban, but that's right there, and I'm sort of proud of that one. But and again, it wasn't for like saying, oh, you're a jerk, or you know, what an a-hole this guy is. It was just for saying, where are you coming from, dude? Because it just sounded so weird. And my first reaction, because again, like I said, I'd only found out about the guy, and I loved the first things that I'd seen, like the slavery video and the mind bomb.
Yeah, he's got some great stuff.
He really does. And I've also heard people say, oh, well, a lot of that's retreaded from other thinkers. And yeah, that may well be true, but he's put it together in a very accessible way. And
I don't think there's anything original in Liberty. And it basically just breaks down to the non-aggression principle. And anything else is just, you know how conservatives will like listen to Rush or they'll listen to Hannity and they'll like one or the other and they're both screaming the same stuff, but it's like you like your flavor of guy screaming it. And some people like this, the Fiends talking about the non-aggression principle and apparently not living by it, according to you. And some people like Stefan Molyneux talking about the non-aggression principle and maybe being a sociopath, according to you. But, you know, there's different flavors and it's all the same stuff. You just say it differently.
So let me kind of wrap it up in a nutshell. You know, from looking into that and looking at some sites out there and hearing about this concept he has of trying to separate people from their families, which is exactly the first thing cults try to do, right?
Governments try to do it too.
I guess. I mean, yeah. I mean,
they try to downplay the family.
Head Start, maybe, or you know, they want to.
They call themselves the federal family now, and they have Uncle Sam, and you know, you're supposed to call a judge Your Honor, and you're supposed to call a priest Father. You know, that sort of plays into the state. All those things. It's like, you know, you're supposed to, and cops will often call a teenage boy when they're like busting him doing graffiti or something. They'll say like, "Well, son," you know, it's all they're all trying to be the family.
True. Oh, well, man, I pulled over about for Molyneux, no reason though, is in Kansas about 2 weeks ago, by the way. That's a longer story I'll write about later.
All right. Your audio's not great, so let's have you finish up here.
Let me finish this up real quick. So I'm reading a book right now called Going Clear, which is an unauthorized biography of L. Ron Hubbard and the Scientology stuff by Lawrence Wright. And it's actually a pretty good book. And what I think is going on with Molyneux is that he's using libertarian philosophy in the same way that L. Ron Hubbard used psychology. It's the come on, right, to get people on his Freedom Inc. radio site where he gives them little badges depending upon how much they donate, right? He separates them from their families, separates them from God, if he can, and then what do you have left? You've only got that family, and that family expects you to donate every month if you want to keep your badge, right?
It's
kind of evilly brilliant in a way.
We kind of make fun of that kind of televangelist behavior, not him in particular, but more televangelists. When people donate, we say we put them on the golden floppy disk of redemption, which isn't, you know, there's no list. It's just, it's our way of saying thanks. We do joke that it's the list of people that we will spare when we are the libertarian emperors of the world and having all the non-believers herded off at gunpoint to libertarian re-indoctrination camps where they will be forced to listen to 24/7 of the Freedom Fiends and Ben Stone.
Well, that doesn't sound like a fate worse than death. So, but anyway, look, I know you guys have got other stuff you want to talk about, but like I said, I just wanted to call in. If we talked to voice, we could hopefully clear up some of the stuff that, you know, it's harder. Let me just mention one other thing real quick. There's the thing that I think really ticked you off about the getting punched and knocked out thing and what I said there. And I think that was another example, really, where I was just trying to kind of be humorous about something. I absolutely don't think that that's a good thing to have happen, and I'm sorry that didn't come through clearly because I didn't mean it to sound that way at all. So,
okay.
You know the bit I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, so I hope you'll take me at my word on that. That was not my intent to say, hey, you know, open your mouth and you deserve to get smacked. That's not my belief at all. And like I said, I try to, you know, I try every day. I'm not successful at it all the time to try to walk my talk and try and listen to people's arguments instead of just letting myself get angry and react. That sounds like Scientology all over again. That reactive mind stuff. I got to stop reading that book.
You should read my user's manual for the human experience. Go to michaelwdean.com. Click on Michael's Media, and then there's a link over on the top left, and there's a link to get a PDF of it free. And there's also an audio book.
Cool. I will add it to the stack of the two stack that is growing on my desk right now that I need to get through.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in, Paul.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. And
thanks, man.
Great rest of the show.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
See, Michael, you just need to sit down and talk with your friends on the playground.
Fiend drone. Fiend drone.
Okay. Okay. I exploded. No.
Fiend.
Man, it's been a good day financially for the Fiends. I sold my preamp for $60, and we just got a $50 donation and a $10 donation while Paul was talking.
Oh, nice.
We should have
nice.
People on that don't like us more. Maybe that's what gets the donations.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
conflict
maybe.
Is the
maybe.
Essence of fiscal liquidity. Yeah,
well,
man.
Let's discuss yeah. amongst ourselves, because that's kind of a hefty thing to throw out there about Molyneux, especially since that's half of what Molyneux talks about is how the state is full of sociopaths, and that's the real problem with society,
is that we
allow these sociopaths in the state to run our lives.
That was the banner thing in Paul's whole thing, and it kind of blew me away. It's actually crossed my mind in my dealings with Stefan Molyneux, but not to the extent that I would come out and say it or do anything about it. But I think if Paul Anderson does want to have an interesting discussion, that would be something to post on the Bad Libertarian site.
Yeah.
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 You know, a little
See,
essay.
My initial reaction was, huh, it was intriguing to me. It wasn't like, oh my God, no. And I wasn't jumping to the defense of Molyneux. But I think that Molyneux does a lot of good work. You know, as to the asking people to leave their families thing, I think that that's kind of trumped up. Not that I'm saying that I wouldn't
yeah,
be interested
I mean,
in looking deeper
you know,
into the issue, but
if Al-Anon,
what he says,
Al-Anon encourages women to leave men
right.
who beat them.
Who
is
are
that,
abusing
is
them.
That bad?
Yeah.
You know?
No. No, and that to me boils down to what Molyneux says. He says that he thinks you shouldn't give people passes just because you share genetic material or because they call themselves the state. Those two things.
Yeah.
You know, just because people have a categorical thing or claim to you doesn't mean that you should allow them to aggress on you.
I totally agree, and that was the point of a lot of my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, which actually has a chapter called No Contact, which is about a friend of mine who had a daughter, an adult daughter, that was just being really snippy and kind of ruining her life. And she wrote her a sensible letter and said, not an email, like a letter, handed it to her and said, like, I am going to have no contact with you for 1 year. We'll talk about it after that. And it actually worked and helped, and they get along now. And
yeah.
You know, that's something that most people would never do. They're like, blood is thicker than water. You got to stay with your family. Family's the most important thing you got. And I kind of have a lizard mentality about my family. I was whelped by them and then kind of crawled away and don't really have much contact with them. And it's part of it's like because of issues, but really it's more like I don't really know them. I mean, my dad was 40 when I was born. My dad was 43. My mom was 40. My youngest sibling was a senior in high school when I was born. So I don't really know those people. I mean, literally, I've talked to Paul Anderson today more than I've talked to my whole family combined in the past 12 months, probably, or the past 6 months.
Right.
Except for my
and
dad.
Well,
I listen
I
to my dad.
I absolutely adore my family.
Yeah, I love my
family, and I would do anything for them. But it's not just because they're my family. It's because they've always loved me back and
yeah.
always done great things for me and had my back. And so I feel like returning the favor in a voluntary sense. I don't feel obligation to them. I feel genuine love. And I think that that is an amazing thing, too. And so I don't like to downplay the family aspect of things, but I do like to say that people don't get a pass. Just because of what category they're in.
Yeah, and I agree with Molyneux on the it's okay to defoo from family that is abusive, but my problem with Molyneux
is that an acronym? Where does that even come from?
D-E-F-O-O. Foo stands for family of origin. It's leaving your family of origin. It's basically divorcing your parents. And he doesn't encourage people to run away from home. He's basically like, you know, if you are of legal age where you can legally leave and they're abusive, you should do that. And, you know, he basically says have a no contact or a very limited contact where you determine the terms with them. Now, my problem with Molyneux doing that is his definition of what is an abusive family is so incredibly wide that, you know, it basically most parents would fall under it. And I don't really agree with that.
Do you think, I mean, I feel like sometimes it is a bit wide, but he basically says that parents must follow the non-aggression principle, especially with their kids.
Most parents have never heard of the non-aggression principle. And like people that are like 40 years old right now, the non-aggression principle wasn't even a thing. I mean, it existed on this earth, but that term didn't exist. And there was, you know, the only people that practiced like non-violent parenting were hippies that screwed everything else up. you know, my sister practiced non-violent parenting. She never spanked either of her boys. And they are hellions because she screwed other things up, you know, because she let them run wild and free. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious, you know, Stefan Molyneux has a daughter who's like one or something. I know, I'm sure he's never going to hit her, but I'm really curious how he's going to deal with his parenting method with a teenager. You know, I think she may run wild and free and it may drive him batty.
His counter argument would be, what he does is he negotiates with her, and if she wins the negotiation, well, there's no winning. I guess that's his point.
Okay,
is
his daughter's
until both
three. Someone says she's three. Yeah, you can't negotiate with a baby.
I think she's like five now.
Okay,
I think you can.
Oh, so we're watching her grow up.
I mean, I've had little siblings. Yeah,
with a 1 year old, you can't negotiate with a 1 year old. They don't even have language capability beyond mine.
Yeah, but what do they need? They need a bottle, and that's about it. You know, and the diaper changed when they're one. I mean, what is there to negotiate about? They're not going to go run off and join a gang.
Yeah. Five is a little human. You know, I really liked in the movie Suburbia, it was all these punk rockers who were like, you know, 18, 16 to 20, probably living in this abandoned house together. But then like one of them went and saved his little brother from their drunk mother, abusive mother. And he was like eight. So they were like these punkers in this abandoned building were raising this 8 year old boy and like giving him a far better life, you know, illegally than the mother would have given legally, you know?
Right. What I also wonder about what Molyneux's been talking about lately is he says that in his personal life, he disassociates with people who would use state aggression against him, i.e. anybody who's a statist is how you take that to its logical ends. So he says he makes the attempt to try to pitch to them the ideas of the non-aggression principle. And if they still say, well, I still think cops should throw you in jail if you don't pay your taxes, then he won't discuss things with them anymore and will cut them out of his life. What do you feel about that?
I like it as a hard line stand, but basically if you are not doing business with anybody who pays their taxes or wants to pay their taxes, you're going to be starving on a rock in this
world. Well, I don't think it's that. I mean, you have to do what you have to do when the gun is pointed to your head. I think what he means is, would you support the gun being pointed to my head? Not do you not pay your taxes, do you support the fact that if I didn't pay mine, I'd be thrown in jail? Or do you support the fact that if I smoked pot, I would be thrown in jail?
I mean, how far do you take that? I find it very hard to have statist friends. And a lot of people I know who are non-statist still have a lot of statist friends and can't convince them with logic and still have to listen to their crap. I don't have any friends like that. And it's harder and harder to talk to my sisters who just think Obama's second term is Jesus incarnate, you know? And actually they're both Muslims, but that's got nothing to do with anything. They're Sufis, which is considered branch of Islam. But
it's a very different branch of Islam, though. It's like it's very mystic.
A lot of Muslims don't consider them real Islam, but and they're actually persecuted and killed in some countries just for being what they are. For instance, I have an electrician coming over tomorrow because I've discovered I have a ground problem in my home. I'm not well grounded. And, you know, when he comes into the door, do I hand him a piece of paper to check off what his beliefs are before I pay him to save my life from I mean, basically, I am constantly surrounded by electricity. So getting this fixed is about the most important thing for me right now. And I'm not begging.
I hadn't heard Molyneux clarify, but I would assume he means social interactions, but maybe not. I mean, I don't know. That'd be a question to ask him. But you're right. I mean, when it comes to economic interactions, what I mostly care about, like 99% of what I care about when I'm dealing with somebody, is how well they handle the economic function I'm asking them to handle. I could care less if my mechanic can compose an opera, you know, what he's writing about in his journal.
Do you care if he's all, support the troops?
Maybe.
Would you try to find a different mechanic if you knew that about him? I mean, I told you that I had a neighbor that was wearing an Obama shirt who's moved out. They were subletting, and it really upset me.
That's what I reserved the 1% for. I mean, if he's really a good mechanic and really honest, then...
But you told me to go over and help this guy with his ladder, you know? And that's making a friend of someone who's an absolute statist. And you said it to try to convince him.
I'm not saying I take them all in line. I was bringing it up as a point of discussion.
And I was talking about laughing at him because he was going to fall off a ladder. But that's another. That's my honey badger coming out.
Well, no, and even in the Molyneux line of that, he says, you know, you can pitch it, you discuss it first, you try to make the case. And so that's kind of what I was even saying about the kid with the Obama t-shirt on the ladder. He was an 18-year-old kid. You were under the impression, I think, that he didn't have a dad or didn't have parents.
They were divorced.
And so he could have used...
He lived with his mother and his siblings, and his dad came by like on Saturdays to take him out for ice cream or something. I saw him a few times.
Okay. So his dad was still involved, but he might have had a use for some other outside guidance. And so that was my point, is it's okay for a neighbor to go over and discuss ideas with a neighbor. I think that's really important to the Liberty Mission and society and civilization.
I
want to
be heard everywhere in the world except in my town. I should just block all Casper IPs on the Fiend site so no one in Casper can hear us.
Why is that? What do you think the root of that is?
Because I want to be anonymous and left alone in my home. You know, I don't want people going, you know, I don't want the Republicans going, that's that anarchist. You know, I mean, they already think I'm nuts.
You want your solitude.
They already think I'm nuts because when I first moved here, I hung out American flags, and then I started hanging out "Don't Tread on Me" flags, and then I started hanging out "No Flag" for the past couple of years. And some of them still hang out flags every, you know, religious of the state holiday.
The anarchist flag is now hanging over Michael Dean's
house.
Hang
a black flag.
It's a non-flag.
Yeah, it's a non-flag. Yeah.
It's a non-flag. Yeah.
Black flag. So Black Flag, the singer Henry Rollins once said, if I went to therapy, I'd be out of a job. You were saying earlier that, like, you know, do you like having all that anger, Michael? Is it good for you? And I'm like, well, I would be out of a job. There wouldn't be fiends if I were at peace with myself. If I meditated and found peace and found God and found serenity, I would just be on here going, hey, this is delicious dish on NPR, you know?
Would you?
No, the fiends wouldn't be the fiends, you know? And you're dealing with some anger issues. You want to talk about your feelings, Nima?
Some kind of chick? No,
I said that to you recently. Recently we were talking on the phone and I was like, well, how do you feel? You sound like you are upset, and there was nothing in particular, but I was just like, last couple days.
No, you're so confused. You were like, you sound like you're doing really well.
Well, that was the day I said both things to you in one day in different calls a couple hours apart, which, you know, I don't know what it was, but, and I said, you know, what are you feeling? And you paused and you weren't joking at all. It was really funny to me, but you said, I don't know about my feelings. I'm not a woman or I'm not a lady. And you didn't say it derogatory.
I know is I feel ways about stuff.
It wasn't, I'm not a lady. It was just like, you were like, I don't know. I'm not in touch with my feelings. Yeah. I'm a man.
I emphasize it a bit too much.
If someone would like to call in and talk about their feelings, the call-in number is 307. What is a call-in number? Our call-in number, 307-215-5171.
If you would like to call in. The number again is 307-215-5171. Today is February 2nd, or sorry, it's February the 21st, 2013. So if you are hearing it on a different day, then your call won't reach us. It'll reach Michael while he is busy shooting crocodile and having sex with a tranny hooker.
It won't even reach me because it'll go to my my Skype phone. You know, it'll be like an MP3 on Skype that I have to download on a computer that I never turn on unless we're doing a show. Yeah.
Speaking of tranny hookers, Facebook fiend had a picture of a cat, that meme on the internet that's a cat that's like swimming through the water with something in its teeth and it goes, they said I could be whatever I wanted to be, so I chose to be a crocodile. And the fiend caption said, Nima, please don't shoot this crocodile with your training hooker. Lol. One of his friends was like,
what?
You should really be careful when you use that term. I know you meant no harm, but some people reserve the right to use that term exclusively.
What, tranny or shoot?
Was basically
or
the
crocodile.
Gist of what she was saying. I think she meant tranny, because later she called it the T word. which...
Man, that's
I get being sensitive about things, but that terminology, reserve the right to use a term exclusively, that's a really scary sentiment.
This person
isn't
is
it?
So frighteningly PC. Like, not only is this thing is reserved, but then like she won't even say the word because she doesn't think she's allowed to. The T word.
The T word.
Man.
Yeah.
What are they teaching kids in high school and college now, man? What
I
are
don't
they
even
teaching?
Know anymore, man.
What's
but
wrong
I,
with today's
I've always
youth?
Felt this way. Even before I was a libertarian or an anarchist, I felt that nobody has a right. I mean, free speech, what comes out of your mouth, trumps any concern about what goes into somebody else's ear.
Yeah.
Because they can plug their ears, they can put on their headphones, or they can avoid contact with you whatsoever. That's one of the things freedom of association is used for. I mean, you can also think of things like this as tools. So if you don't like the way somebody talks, or you don't like the way they look, or you don't like the way their house looks, then guess what? You don't have to look at it. Nobody is forcing you to hear things, and nobody is forcing you to see things, with the exception, obviously, of the state, who gets a free pass to do whatever they want.
Yeah. Crocodile.
Crocodile.
Are we gonna take a break today? We never really took a break, and we're almost done here.
We haven't took a break yet, and I would like some
pee-pee
some
kitty?
Delicious beverage.
A wall through pee-pee
no.
kitty. All right, play a song, and I'll do some accounting here. Yeah.
All right. What song would we like to play today?
Your call.
I don't have one queued up.
Your call.
Okay. Any suggestion, chat room?
What's quicker, a bomb song or a Nima song or a YouTube video or what?
Let's see.
You're killing me here.
All right, fine. Here, I'm just gonna play an instrumental.
All right. All right.
Yo, yo, fiends. What does it do? All right, well, looks like we don't have a whole lot of time left, and Michael is actually indisposed with something really important. In fact, it's something that has to do with radio. Fantastic. So, I believe we did have somebody who wanted to call, but I think Michael has to press the button, so we can't take the call. Instead, I suppose we should talk about anything and everything to close out the cast. Maybe wrap it up a little bit. We've got about 11 minutes left. First of all, I would like to open the chat room up to any suggestions.
Fiend phone.
And,
fiend phone.
Oh, damn it.
Fiend
phone.
We've
got the fiend phone ringing,
fiend
but
phone.
We need Michael to press the button. Here.
Fiend phone.
I'm going to try to...
Fiend phone.
I'm going to try to pigeon
fiend
him so
phone.
He can press the button.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Press button, Michael.
Fiend phone. Fiend
Michael,
phone.
Michael, look at button.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
All right. So you're going to keep hearing the fiend phone, and you won't get to hear the call. I'm sorry. I'm definitely sorry, guys. Paranoid Fiend, you can definitely call in next time. We'll call it the Sunday show, man. Yeah. Hey. Hey, Fiend. Paranoid Fiend. In fact, you can talk to me on the chat room, and I'll talk back. So you can use your text, use your words, Paranoid Fiend, and I will use my voice, and we will see what we can wrangle up here. Michael, he's alive. He didn't get droned. He did not get scrutinized either. No, he is on a business call with the people that are have already said they would help us get radio syndication. So they are a sort of clearinghouse who syndicates a lot of folks that you probably like and listen to. And so, yeah, he's doing a business, basically, but not the Pooplicate business. And he's been trying to get a hold of the guy, so it's kind of going to be one of those situations where you give that precedence, even over the show, I guess. But I guess it's for the fiends, so hopefully you fiends understand. And Michael will probably cut this out of the recording, because all I'm doing is talking about business and discussing things with the chat room. Let's see. Oh, Paranoid Fiend wants to talk about choosing a path to freedom in life. He says, smile like you guys are doing, or how your mom did after she dropped status indoctrination, quote-unquote teaching, or parentheses teaching. So what about choosing a path to freedom, Paranoid Fiend? You want a suggestion, or you are giving us a suggestion? I'll go ahead and... I guess what I would want to ask is, are you saying that you've found a new path, or that you're looking for a way to transition from a current point in your life? All right. I know there's a bit of a delay. He's looking. Oh, you're looking for a way. Okay. So I'm guessing you're looking for a way. Oh, well, what do you feel is blocking you? I know a lot of times people feel there are roadblocks, and certainly there are, but what I've found in my personal life is the roadblocks don't even have to be removed in the physical external world always. A lot of times the roadblock is something internally. It's something in your head. It's a, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't find a new job. Oh, I can't quit my current job. Oh, I can't move here. Oh, I can't stay here. All of those
radio.
Things, you know.
Radio. I was just talking to our radio guy.
Radio.
Things are looking good. I want to know more next week, but
are they?
It's 100%.
Okay.
It's definite. We're going to be on radio.
Ah.
I'm psyched, man.
Okay.
That's a good way to end a Fiends cast.
Great. It's a really good way. We'll go ahead and talk a little bit about that personally after the show during our post game.
But
Paranoid Fiend had tried to call, and I told him he could call during the last segment.
He could call.
We got about 7 minutes left.
He should call back. I
we
got it.
Call?
I didn't hit it quick enough to get him on.
Okay.
Yep.
What All was right, that groovy, Mr. Paranoid
what
Fiend?
What was that awesome music you were playing? That was like sounded like Brian Eno, but it was more contemporary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was my attempt at a Brian Eno thing before I even knew Eno existed.
You did that?
But
that was cool, man.
Well, man, you've heard it before. We use it for a Fiend's bump.
I think we should do a fiend show with that playing under for in a loop.
I guess I just sent you a 30-second loop of it for the Fiend's Bump, though. But you've heard the gist of it before.
Nice. Awesome. Beautiful.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, yeah, that was my attempt at an ambient type track. But of course, it does have drums. You know, it's not arrhythmic or anything like some ambient.
Well, I like ambient stuff that has drums. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, Fiend, you are also our virtual friend, Mr. Paranoid Fiend. And to all you fiends in the chat room and otherwise, we love you all. You can definitely still call in, Paranoid Fiend, but you have to know that there's the caveat that we don't have a whole lot of time. But we would be happy to, if you're feeling lonely out there in Fiendland, which is spelled F-I-N-L-A-N-D, just like Levine is spelled L-E-V-I-N.
Ew.
So go ahead and just give us a call.
Ew. Mew. Yeah. Yeah. See if we got anything else from the notes here.
Or not.
Or not. Yeah. You ever see those signs in...
Fiend was asking a question.
What is it? Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Oh, so many fiends.
Fiend phone.
So many fiends.
Hey, Fiend. What fiend is this?
Hello, it's Paranoid Fiend. Can you hear me well?
Yeah. What you doing?
You sound great.
What'd it be?
Yeah, it's actually... I chose... Go. And,
you sent a donation. Man, thanks for the donation, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I feel I have a right to call in now.
Oh, you don't have to donate to call in, but we'll probably keep you on longer. But actually, we got about 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. So it's all yours, man. You bought it. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You bought airtime on the Fiends.
But, I get a... When you realize all the things that's going on in the world, you kind of feel lonely, especially when you're surrounded by status people like me in university and college. Everyone is so like big Obama humper and everything, and it's hard to find like liberty-minded people. So what's your advice, guys, for finding friends like you did?
One of my first things to say is. People have said that, you know, the vast majority of people actually are apolitical or are of no concern whatever about it. You know, they're not Obama humpers.
So brainwash your friends, basically.
Bush humpers.
That's what he's saying.
Well, not just that, but there are people who are natural libertarians in that way that they just don't care and politics is not a priority for them. And those can be a good subset that you don't think of because they're not active. They're not all about freedom and fighting for freedom. And so you can find people like that who are just interested in things like music or theater or going to shows or going to the tavern or bars. And so that's a good, maybe untapped resource. I'm not sure if it is for you, but that would be one of the places I would look is go find people to hang out with that aren't even into politics at all.
I agree. I have friends like that. It's just that I guess it's sometimes you feel overwhelmed by all the statism around you. But yeah, I have some libertarian recruits out there.
Okay.
I keep meeting.
Good, good. Well, where are you at? What part of the world?
I'm in Moncton, New Brunswick. It's right across Maine.
Time
calling.
Aren't there some good liberty people in Maine and up in that area? I think Chandler Saint Pierre is from Maine.
Maine?
Cool. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not sure which part of Maine is from.
Yeah, I mean
that's another great thing too. And you know, one of the other beautiful things about liberty-minded folks is there's no shortage of them on the internet. I mean, I guess that's not always the same. It doesn't feel the same need as face-to-face contact. But I never feel lonely because all day long on my phone, I'm
because I call you 4 hours a night while you're working.
Well,
and bother you.
That's one thing,
and it bothers you, but you're certainly not lonely while it's happening.
I'm certainly not lonely. Well, yeah, and I get Facebook messages throughout the night just on my phone and text messages. And so the internet traps, as Michael calls them, are always giving me good feedback or discussion or places to go and just feedback and see that I'm not alone, that people out there, you know, often on like a Facebook post, I don't even feel I have to make any arguments against status because somebody will say something idiotic like,
the
well,
Liberty Gang will, you know, take over for you.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like everybody already said exactly what I felt like saying. So I don't feel lonely in that regard either. But I guess if you're calling us about this issue, that's probably not enough for you then, is it?
You know, I actually started a Liberty dating site that didn't catch on. The website was libertylovescompany.com, and it was supposed to be dating and friends, but I'm too lazy to do something like that, but someone should start that.
Yeah, definitely. I think there'd be a market for that. But just before I go, I have a suggestion for maybe for the gumbos, Michael.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Nima's mom would be willing to Google on the gumbos.
Oh, no.
She seems, because I'm taking teaching right now, and I kind of like to get her perspective on.
Okay.
She'd do it. Nima wouldn't want her to. Because we'd talk about Nima.
No, that's fine. I would be being a selfish bastard if I said don't do it. I'm cool with that if she's cool with that too.
If you rooster block the world from your mother.
Yeah, man. I mean, she's a great person. She's got great things to say. So who am I to say, don't embarrass me? Mm-hmm. So yeah, man, if you want to do a gumbo with my mom and she's down for it, by all means.
I'll put that on my list of things to do. It's a really good suggestion. And we're at the end of our time here. Do you have any quick closing comments there, Paranoid Fiend?
No, they'll be all keep up the good work and worms. And thanks for all you're doing, helping a lot.
Worms.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening, man. And thanks for donating.
Take care.
No problem. Worms.
Yo. So you liked the little ambient ditty there, huh?
I really did. I like the ambient diddling.
Diddling, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I guess that's the end of our time, so we'll play Michael's appeal to the reasonable part of your brain and DJ's outro. Here it is.
We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarious money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal, or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Fiends Agenda. We'll be back streaming live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. East Coast U.S. time on Freedom Fiends Radio at freedomfiends.com. MP3 archives of all Freedom Fiends episodes are available free at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Worms.
Fiend drone. Fiend drone.
Are you tired of governments murdering people with coins? Then I need the script up.
Oh, yeah. Redo stop doing it.
Stop doing it.
Just a little less. Like, stop doing it. Yep. Okay, now let me just jump up there and do mine.
Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled. Ooh, fuzzy.